Waiting to join Mason and Gus on Vibes Radio, the Stampton Station. Cricket summary. Waiting to hear from Mason and Gus. Yes. Yes, indeed. We are waiting to join Mason and Guest over there in Dominica, bringing you the cricket summary. The second day's play, West Indies coming up against England. We'll be soon joining Mason and friends and guests from around the world. They'll be telling us all about it. Just be with us. We're going to rally around the West Indies in the meantime, because they deserve to be rallied around. Not yet out of the woods, but fighting. So here, all. To join Mason. Yes. Yes, waiting to join Mason again.
International cricket commentator Andrew Mason and his guest for the Vibes Summary.
The Vibes Cricket Summary brought to you compliments of Mason and guests. Coming out live out of Dominica on Vibes Radio. Tell your friends, tell your loved ones that we are on live. Hear what the experts have to say. Mason and the guests. Waiting for Mason, I guess. Should be in a jiffy. A little difficulty getting a connection. Let's play our song Rally Around until he gets on with us.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you, and welcome to another very special edition of the Five Summary. We've got a situation where the West Indies are struggling at the end of the second day's play. They are indeed, and the scoreboard tells the story. 469 for 9 declared to England, the West Indies. A tricky time for batting. They're 32 for 1, and they've got, as they say, in the Caribbean to bat until the cows come home. Good afternoon, I'm Andrew Mason. For the next hour or so, we are going to be talking cricket. We're going to be looking back at the day's play in this test match between England and the West Indies. Starting the day on 207 for 3, it was pretty clear that the West Indies were going to be under tremendous pressure, and pressure, and more pressure. And by the end of it all, we saw a magnificent performance by Sibley, who batted extremely well. Stokes as well, 176. And Sib batted really very well for his 100. The two came together. They added 260 for wicket number 4. And by the end of it all, England were really large and in charge in their own backyard. 469 for 9, to which the West Indies have replied with some 32 for 1. We've got, of course, our esteemed panel ready to look at the action. We've got former West Indies opening batsman Philo Wallace. We've also got the former batsman for England, Roland Butcher, and one of the noted journalists, of course, in England, David Brooke. Gentlemen, it was a day that the West Indies had to really, really work very, very hard indeed. As we start with you, Philo Wallace, your assessment of day 2.
Well, Andrew, thank you once again for having me here. It was a hard, hard day for West Indies. As discussed yesterday, we needed them to take early wickets. That did not happen. And we saw a partnership of 4-wicket partnership of 260 runs by one Ben Stokes, who's becoming a fantastic cricketer, and Sibley, who's obviously got a second test 100. But when you look at it, the West Indies bowlers were not penetrative enough to break that 4-wicket partnership after 260 runs. And they face themselves now with a massive first innings of 469 by England for 90 cleared. So pressure clearly on West Indies. So they will have to go back to the drawing board tonight and obviously do a reassessment of where they went wrong today and how to better it tomorrow with the bat. They're back where they started now, Andrew. Everybody was saying that West Indies batsmen, they need to come good at the bat. And this is what they need to do now tomorrow. But a very, very hard day for them. You saw a lot of tired legs today, tired bodies. I thought they tried their best, but obviously they could not really breach the defenses of the English batsmen.
Mm-hmm. Roland Butcher, your assessment of day two.
Good afternoon to you, Andrew, and all your viewers. Very difficult day for the West Indies. Second day in a row, yesterday. Truncated day, it was a difficult day. Really, more misery continued today, really, with that partnership between Stokes and Sibley. Putting West Indies under tremendous pressure. And once the score had gone past 400 and eventually 416, he's in a very difficult position because, you know, they've been in the field for 2 days, short turnaround from the last test match. There must be some very weary bodies and minds as they contemplate what they have to do tomorrow. It's going to be a very difficult sort of day for them tomorrow to try and bat under those circumstances, having to field for 2 days. And the scoreboard, when you look up on the scoreboard, and you see 469, you know, that plays on your mind as well. So it's been two really tough days for the West Indies. And you can see by the end of the day, particularly with the bowlers, you can see the weariness in the bowlers. A couple of players who looked as if has slight niggles in terms of injury. So really for the rest of the test match, for those players, it's going to be extremely hard.
Mm-hmm. David?
Well, it might have been misery for Roland and the West Indies fans, but I mean, if the stadium had been full, how they would have loved that innings by Ben Stokes. I mean, he is a great batsman, as we know, and he went through the gears, didn't he? 176 from him. Contrasting styles with Sibley. I mean, they came together, it was only 81 for 3, wasn't it, when they came together? And when they were parted, 341 for 4. And, you know, it was a great innings from Stokes. It accelerated, got better as time went on. Sibley's one of those batsmen that West Indies probably would like, you know, if Brathwaite could do that for West Indies in response, that would be good, wouldn't it? But Sibley's one of those players you best watched on the radio. Not much to look at, just, you know, one of those players you just want to check on what score he's got. But he's doing a great job because he's already managed to stay in a lot longer than other people that have held that opening batting position. It's been like revolving doors for England. So they finally found an opener that can do that opening role and stay there. So, yeah, great partnership, and it would have demoralised West Indies. We were already saying yesterday that West Indies bowlers look weary. So after today, we need another word.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. You're right. In fact, we saw it, Gabriel. A lot of talk about Gabriel playing two consecutive test matches. Of course, a lot of it will be hindsight. But let's look at the whole question of the pitch now.
Our fellow Wallace,
how did the pitch play on day two?
I thought the pitch played better on day two. Andrew, when you look at it, the batsmen, both Sibley and Ben Stokes, they bide their time and they've gotten and they played wonderfully well. The pitch didn't really offer a lot of devils. Like, the ball was swinging, but obviously the West Indies bowlers didn't get the ball in the right areas to cause any concern for the two batsmen, obviously Sibley and Stokes. So when you look at that surface, I think the surface is still a very good test match surface. Surfaces. That's how West Indies now approach it tomorrow. But there are no devils in it. There's a bit of turn there, which is expected, as they said at Old Trafford. It's a little funny, you know, but there's a little turn. But I don't think it's that much turn that it should be concerned, a lot of concern for the batsmen. They just need to get in. And once you get in, you get value for your shot. So it's about application tomorrow for West Indies. But the pitch to me, Andrew, it's a good test match pitch.
Mm-hmm. Roland, you know the pitch there very well, don't you?
I don't think the pitch is going to be the problem for West Indies tomorrow. I think the scoreboard is going to be the problem. So we turn the total on the board. And Bess is going to do a lot of bowling. he may end up picking up quite a number of wickets. You saw the odd ball return quite sharply. So he will get a lot of bowling. I think the English bowlers will perhaps use the conditions a bit better than West Indies did in the first day. They will bowl a fuller length, really try to get the batsman to drive, looking to get the edge. There's certainly more swing around than seen. And yesterday, I thought West Indies got it wrong in that area, but the type of bowlers that on shore in this England side, there's no Archer and there's no Wood who would provide the express pace. What you've got bowlers is Sam Curran, who's gentle medium, but he will swing it. Walks, very good record he's got in England, so you know, he'll be looking to further that. And don't forget, Ben Stokes, who got that 176. You know, when you're that confident, you know, you can come on with a ball and bowl some absolute rubbish deliveries and pick up wickets. And the luck is going with you. So West Indies got a real tough day tomorrow. No question about that.
Well,
they've got to bat for 2 days.
Yeah. 2 days? Oh, my golly. So they've got to bat until the cows and the sheep come home. Then they've got to bat for 2 days. Of course, we want to get your interaction. The Vibes Radio Facebook page, you can post your comments as well. And if you're local, of course, there in Dominica, you can maybe give us a call at 1-767-245-051. But we want to welcome ABS Radio again. We really want to thank you for coming through and being very much with us as well. Win FM there in St. Kitts with us. WVET in St. Lucia, thanks to Mr. Mike Rogers. And, of course, we've got ZDK Radio Liberty. And today, Rowan, David, and Philo, you actually go into the British Virgin Islands. They're actually being very much a part of the action. But we do know, David Brooks, you've got a couple of houses down there in the British Virgin Islands. So you'll be quite happy to know that they are very much watching and listening to you as well. Now, gentlemen, as we await the participation of people to come and comment, we're going to ask the question, can the West Indies save this test match? That's the question we're asking. You can certainly go to the Vibes Radio Facebook page and put your comments. We'd be very interested to find out what you've got to say. And we want to also thank all those who have logged on. We are very happy with the numbers as we continue to provide the very necessary information in relation to the first match. Sure. Now, let's look at the performance of Jason Holder in terms of his bowling. We're going to do an assessment of the West Indies bowlers. Holder bowled 22 overs, 10 minutes, 1 for 70. Philo, your assessment of the West Indies captain?
Obviously, Andrew, a big difference from Hampshire at the GS Bowl. He bowled a lot better. I think conditions there were a lot more helpful. Here at Old Trafford, not as penetrative as I thought it would have been. I still find that Jason still holds, he's the holder of the pack. He's the man who comes to bowl line and line from bowl tight rather than be attacking. I think with his height, he can attack the stumps a lot more. To me, he just tries to bowl line and length outside the off. Some of the ball nips around, well, then he picks up the wickets. But a big step down from what we saw at Hampshire. These are things that bothers me sometimes, that, you know, because you will see that first test match, we take all the boxes to win. We had 3 days in between the first test match and the second test match. Okay, conditions are different. The surface is different. But we're just seeing a big drop in our attitude, our bowling and everything just dropped. And that is something that needs to be looked at. Jason, to me, I thought, should have been a bit more attacking at the stumps, but he wasn't. And obviously, the figures reflect 32-70, pick up one wicket. The economy rate is 2.1. But when you look at that wickets column, that is the problem. He didn't pick up the wickets that you were expecting of him after the first test match going so well.
Roland Butcher, they said in the commentary that Gabriel looked tired. 26 overs, 2 minutes, none for 79. Your impressions of the big man from TNT?
Well, Gabriel looked tired yesterday, not just yesterday. I mean, yesterday you saw.
Oh, really?
I'm sure that you saw that as well, Andrew.
So he's been tired for 2 days.
He looked a tired man yesterday. I would imagine yesterday over next week would get him right close here. And obviously, it appeared he had a bit of a niggle as well. So it was always going to be a very tough day for him. Yesterday, as you know, he was on and off the field. And you know, I think it's a lot to expect of Gabriel, who has been out of the game for a long time, with that injury, operations. You know, you're hoping that, you know, when he comes back to cricket, that he's going to be okay. But that's all it is, hope. You're not sure that he's going to be okay physically. He got through that first test match and glad to see that. But as other test matches progress, you know, you would realize that it's going to be tough for him because he just hasn't got the overs in his body to last that amount of time. So this test match, particularly when you win the toss and you put the opposition in, and at the end of the day, short and bare, you've only got 3 wickets, and you sense that it's going to be a tough day the next day, and then the opposition go and get over 400 runs. So it really was a hard time for him, and yes, he looked tired. I mean, there's no question about that.
No. In terms of you, David, your assessment now of Kemar Roach. A lot has been said about Kemar Roach. People are saying that if he doesn't come through and certainly perform well, he could be dropped. Your impressions of Mr. Roach today, David Brooke?
Yeah, I was doing some commentary today on the radio, and I was quoting Philo a lot when he said yesterday that Kemar Roach was grunting more than Serena Williams, because we saw that again today. You know, every ball was an effort ball. And so, you know, he worked tirelessly and his economy rate was great. But, you know, you just wanted him to get a wicket. And I'm sure that one of those unsuccessful reviews from Jason Holder was just an attempt to get his man a wicket because he deserved it. And it's been a long time coming and then he got two. But, you know, both Roach and Gabriel did look a bit weary. And that's something we talked about yesterday. Obviously, Gabriel left the field after 10 overs. So, you know, I wonder how much of a dilemma it was for the selection committee before this game. You know, it's always tempting to keep an unchanged team when you win. But given that the West Indies have 25 players on tour, and we're talking about two the frontline bowlers who weren't looking fresh at all. You know, you've got Ray Reefer there, you've got Shamar Holder, you've got O'Shane Thomas in reserve. You know, the benefit of hindsight, surely West Indies would have been better served with some fresh legs out there.
Mm-hmm. So are you criticising the management team, gentlemen, for having a situation where someone, and I see Roland smiling, or maybe smirking, big Shannon Gabriel, who would have been out of the game for some time, is playing two consecutive test matches? Was that a terrible decision, Roland Butcher?
We say it's a terrible decision. I think it's one that they would have considered. I'm sure they would have spoken to Shannon to find out how he was feeling. He probably would have told them, yep, I'm okay. Me personally, on the first test match, and I did voice this then and I voiced it again, I personally would have erred on the point of caution and look at his rehabilitation more on a long-term basis. I would have been glad that he got through that first test match, but I think certainly for this second test match, I would have given him a rest, let him get some more overs in his legs over the next 5 days or so in the net, and then release him for the final game.
Mm-hmm.
I could imagine the temptation by the select. We've won the first game, we won up. If we can win the second game, that puts it out to bed, then we can have a rest. That would have been part of the thinking. But at the end of the day, you know, it worked out contrary to that, where the West Indies backs are very much against the wall, and Shannon looking as if he's got a ball anymore as well, could possibly get even more injured. So it's not going well for him right now.
Mm. Your reaction, Phil Wallace, to all of this?
Andrew, we in the West Indies, we are archaic in our thinking and our selection.
It's a strong one, Phil.
Yeah. Because we feel that we should change a winning side. We've gone to Old Trafford, Andrew. The pitch obviously was on the covers, and somebody should have said something. Somebody in the management team would have known the pitch is going to be slow. And when you look at Shannon, as Roland said, he's been over career for a long time. He got through the first test match, he took 9 wickets. But now, in the second test match, only a 3-day turnaround. You're seeing him struggling. He's been off the field, off and on the field. You know, we don't know directly what is his problem. But there's a third test match that is going to be a very crucial test match. If West Indies do lose this test match, then the third test match is going to be the decider. And that is when you want your fire for the decider. And the way how Shannon looks in this test match, I can't see Shannon making the third one unless he's Superman. Because he certainly looks tired. He certainly looks very, very jaded. And we need to obviously be more smart. We have to be smart in how we select playing 11s. We have to pick horses for courses. England rested Jimmy Anderson and Mark Wood, you know. And you never thought that Jimmy Anderson would get dropped, maybe rested up at Old Trafford, a ground that he's played all his life at. But they decided, look, we're going to rest these two guys because we want them for the third test match, which is very important.
Mm.
But we need to think outside the box, and that is my fear with West Indies selectors. They're not thinking outside the box. We're going down one car road all the time.
Well, this is about time to bring John Baran in. I don't think he knows about cart roads, really. He would know about the Old Trafford Road. Johnny, a very good afternoon to you. And certainly in terms of your assessment of the day's play, we're going to talk to the noted journalist, John Baran, who's going to be with us shortly. Where's Johnny? I thought he was just on screen. Where's Johnny? There he is, Johnny. Johnny, you always seem, Johnny, to me, used to be in Bridgetown on the gap in St. Lawrence Gap, where we found you. Your assessment of the day's play, a smile that is as broad as Buckingham Palace. All right. Well, first of all, Johnny, we got to hear you. We got to hear you, Johnny. Are we hearing Johnny? I don't think we are. We need to ensure that we hear Johnny. If we can't, let's just move on. Johnny, you got to turn your mic on so we can hear you. All right, fellow, I think we can hear you. Oh, okay. Yes, I think we're hearing you now. Yes, Johnny. All right. Are we hearing Johnny? No. Okay, let's try and solve that problem, gentlemen. Let's go back to you, fellow Wallace. That's a very interesting comment you're making. You're saying that we got to play horses for courses, and you're criticizing the selectors for playing Shannon Gabriel.
I'm not criticizing the selectors, Andrew.
What are you doing?
I'm voicing an opinion.
Okay.
They're there, but I'm saying that our selectors need to think outside the box. That's not being critical.
Okay.
Because we cannot be one up and believe. You see, you've got to do a complete assessment of the test match. Shannon Gabriel has worked really hard in Hampshire. The turnaround period is 3 days. It's 3 days enough for a big man like Shannon Gabriel to fully recover, to play for another 5 days. Then the next test match is going to be 3 days after that, the second test match. So you need to sit down with Shannon, and this is part of our medical team as well. You need to be clear what is required for Shannon Gabriel to be at his optimum when he's selected for a test match for West Indies. That has to be clear. And if we're going to move forward in West Indies cricket, these are things that need to be ironed out now, Andrew. Because obviously, Shannon did wonderfully well. But now, when you expect him now to come and seal the deal in the second test match, we're finding ourselves against the eight ball here. And we will need him for the third test match. But we're not certain now because there's a cloud. There's a fitness cloud over his head again.
All right. I think we've finally got Johnny Baran. Johnny, can you talk to us, Johnny? Hello. How are you, Johnny?
Hello, Andrew. Oh, can you hear me, Andrew?
Oh, we can hear you from Bridgetown right through to Donald Trump College.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, yes. Well, it's good to see you, fellas. I mean, I think it's been a good day for England. There's no question of that. And the Stokes has simply built up the score beautifully. The tempo is lifted through the course of the day, and England find themselves in a very, very strong position going into the rest of the game. It's very similar, actually, to the game in which England played Australia this time last year at Old Trafford, where Australia scored around about 490 in the first innings. And from that point onwards, England were always chasing the game. And that's very much the situation that the West Indies find themselves in. And it's just a question, really, for them of batting time and getting as many as they possibly can in that first innings and praying for a bit of Manchester weather.
Yes. Okay. Well, of course, when you get into the reaction in terms of the postings, of course, you can participate. You can call us locally as well. But Leon Francis says the first pass to follow on. That's important. And he's also sent that long guys. And there's a question coming from one of our people on Facebook. They're asking, where's Raheem? Well, that's an interesting one. They want to see Cornwall in the side. We're going to go to a break very, very soon. We're going to throw that one to you, Roland Butcher. Would you say Cornwall?
Well, as I said, horses. Old Trafford has generally been pretty good to the spinners. They've done pretty well. But the question would be, if you're going to play Cornwall, you're going to have to leave a batsman out. Now, for the first test match, the person who would have been on the line would have been Blackwood. But his second innings performance in the first test match really meant that he's guaranteed a second test. Now, so you're really only left with the other options of the opening batsman, Campbell, or Sheho. So really one of those two would have had to make King Thornwall. If he did that, then obviously Jason Holder would have to assume more responsibility as a batsman. And you would also expect Thornwall to contribute with the bat as well. So I'm not sure whether after one test that the selection committee were really ready to make the change in dropping one of those batsmen. I think they perhaps wanted to give both of them another opportunity. Hence, Thornwall didn't play as a result. You know, it may come back to haunt them that obviously they're not bold enough to make that change. And, you know, there's always a temptation that when you win a test match that you go in with the same 11 regardless of the conditions. I am not someone who subscribes to that. I always believe that, you know, you always put out the best team for the game you're going to play, not because you won the last one. And, you know, there'll be many cases where people have performed well, and then get dropped for the next game. So those are things that has to be weighed up on this occasion. I'm probably not brave enough to make the decision about one of the matches.
All right. Well, it's 3:30. Of course, we're going to take a break. We still want you to continue to do your postings. We're quite happy with your reaction. It survives Radio Facebook page. You can log on, of course, and send your comments, your queries, and, of course, your questions to this esteemed panel. We want to thank ABS Radio, WinFM, of course, in St. Kitts, WBET in St. Lucia. You've got Radio Liberty there as ZDK. Thanks to our very good friends there as well. And, of course, we also have the British Virgin Islands. They've locked on, and they are very much with us, the Caribbean Superstation. What we're going to do, gentlemen, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we've got some action. We've got the dismissal of Sibley, Pope, Stokes, Wokes, and Campbell to share with you. Let's pause for Business Cards. All right, this is making sure that we get those commercials in. I don't know if our speakers, their advice is ready. Let's go and join over those commercials.
The most powerful medium on the island of Dominica. Vibes Radio Dutch Champion Station is your number one choice, playing the hottest and the latest music. Listen live on the road or listen at home on your iPod, iPad, Android, and computers.
Dutch Boy Pink.
Environmentally friendly.
Oh, yeah. We rule the cricket world. Now the rules. But down here, just a chink in the armor is enough, enough to lose a friend. Some of the old generals have retired and gone, and the run don't come as they did before. But when the truth says so, don't you know the desert is gone? We've lost the battle, but yet we will win.
The Pipes Cricket Song
way down under,
on the Pipes.
Michael Radio, Holden,
it's your
fall in the heat of the battle. Michael could have left long time. I heard an angry brother shout. Caribbean man, that is the root of our trouble.
In fact, we just got a note, and I'm going to read it from our friends there listening and watching in the Virgin Islands. They're locked on to us, and they're quite happy to be with us. In fact, it says, Uplive 90.9 in the Virgin Islands. So you're going far and wide, gentlemen. And we want to thank you for being very much a part of this very special edition. Of course, we're going to be here every day. So we got, 3 days, and of course, the final test match. And we hope to be able to bring you good news from a West Indies perspective. Just before the break, we promised you that we're going to certainly be looking at the whole question of some highlights. As you know, England started the day 207-3. Philip Wallace joins me again. We want you to do an assessment of the performance of Sebley. Let's see how he was dismissed today.
Here we go. Has it gone far enough? No, not quite. Catch taken by Roach.
Yeah, well, your assessment, Philo, on that?
Well, obviously, Dom simply got into a position where he had to try to push on. He faced 556 balls, Andrew. Scored 372 balls, but it's 556 minutes. Scored 120. He only hit 5 fours. And at Old Trafford, the side boundaries are very, very big. And he was trying to clear the field. And obviously, Roach running from mid-wicket took a very good catch. But obviously, we saw pressure being put on Sibley because England wanted to press on. Then Stokes started to get into another gear. And Sibley obviously could not change gears, and that's given Rawson Chase a wicket. But a very good catch by Roach. But again, we saw a batsman getting in, got 100, a very good 100. But because he doesn't have that ability yet to go into the next gear, he succumbed by playing a big shot.
Well, okay. Now, interesting, very interesting that performance from Sibley. We're going to now look at Chase in terms of getting a wicket off the net ball. And some people believe that perhaps Chase could have been brought into the attack a little bit earlier. He actually bowled well. In fact, he's been having a good series with bat and ball. You know what he did in terms of the first match when he made an important 37 and, of course, a 47 as well and picked up wickets. In fact, Chase picked up 5 wickets, so we want to congratulate him. We look at his figures, 44 overs, 3 maidens, 5 for 172, and he certainly bowled well. Let's go and check out the dismissal of Pope. Well, interesting, Philo. What do you think of that?
Very interesting indeed. Ollie Pope obviously went on the back foot and missed the ball completely and got struck plump in front. I think that Rawson Chase, Andrew, needs to have more confidence in his bowling. Picking up 5 wickets, I congratulate him, but he went for 172 runs from 44 overs. And an off-spinner, you would expect an off-spinner to be a bit more tighter than that. So I think that he needs he has the ability to take wickets and win matches for West Indies. And I would like him to start thinking in that mode as a match winner. I know he doesn't want to tinker too much with the batting, bowling, and balance both. But I think he's a good enough and have enough common sense cricketer that Rawson Chase could balance being that batting or rounder that spins the ball like a Carl Hooper or even a Sir Vivian Richards. And that's why you want to start him thinking that way. Looking at when he gets the ball to bowl, he's not only looking to come and break a partnership, he's looking to get wickets. So congratulations to him for picking up 5 wickets, but he went for 172 runs, which I thought was a lot of runs from 44 overs.
Roland, did he leak too many runs, Roland Butcher?
I mean, Andrew, when you go for 170-odd runs, that's a team score. To be fair to Rawson Chase, I'm a big one about roles in the team. And really, Rustin would tell you, an and everyone else will tell you that poor enforcement was just as a batsman. You know, that's primarily what he's going to be judged on in this team, on his batting. He's been forced as a result of the way things have panned out to be the front line spinner. How long can this continue? I really don't know, because you cannot have your middle order batsman and an important part of your team. He bats in a position where most of the runs have been coming for the West Indies in recent times, and that middle order to lower middle order. So his importance with the bat is even more important than with the ball. So how often is he going to be able to continue bowling 40 overs and then expect it to fulfill that position as number five batsman and get big scores? You know, it's asking a great deal of him. I'm just hoping that in time, his game doesn't suffer as a result of that. But I think his role in the team is getting a little bit cloudy. You know, you can be an all-rounder in the team. But I think generally, there's one position of those two that takes preference. You know, Ben Stokes is a general all-rounder. But you would say that Ben Stokes is more of a batsman first, and he plays an important role in the team as a batsman who bowls, and he won't bowl those number of overs. The other guys will do the amount of bowling. His batting is more important for the team than his bowling. And the same is with Chase, I reckon.
All right, so we still got some more reaction. In fact, Leonie Francis says, the cricket show is also carried live, we like that word, live, all the way in North Florida. So they're locked on to you, Roland, there in Florida. And Leon Francis again saying, if you drop Shannon, what would you do? Who would you bring in if you drop Shannon? We're going to certainly look at that in a minute. We want to thank you for being very much a part of this, the Vibes Radio Facebook page. You can certainly put your comments there. You'll certainly be sharing with this esteemed panel. I think, talking about esteemed, we got the big cat, Sir Clive Lloyd. Where is he? Is he in Lancashire? Or is he, where's Sir Clive? Can we see him? Oh, where's Sir Clive? I'm told that that's Sir Clive there. Hello, Sir Clive. How are you? You seem to be rested.
I was a bit better earlier today, but very behind the eight ball. But I think now the guys have realized what that cricket is all about.
Yes.
It's like life. It's not meant to be easy. And I suppose they're facing 469. Now is the time to dig in. Now is the time you'll find out how good you are when you're behind the ace ball. There are a couple of things, though, I observed. You know, I don't understand. You see, I had bowlers that played 5-day test matches, played here. We played against every county. When we played in Australia, we played it against every state. So a guy plays a test match and then we think, well, should we play him in the next RP? He just had five, nine test wickets. Now, is that the way to... I don't know if that is how they run teams. I think that if I have a fast bowler and he's getting wickets, I want to play him. Are they fit enough? That is the thing that we have to have. As Alzari, young guy at 20-odd, you know, didn't bowl. Is he out for the rest of this game or what? I don't know. Are they fit enough? That is what I ask. I've seen these guys perform, but tied in and you've got everything in your favor. It's a damp because the wicket was covered. You have overcast conditions. But you must catch. You have to take your catches. Catches win matches. Those are all old adages. The point is that I feel that we just want to, you put a side in. You want all your bowlers at your command. The other thing I looked at is that this umpire's call. The ball is hitting the stump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I lose that? I shouldn't lose that. It shouldn't be something that if I appeal to go upstairs. If the ball is hitting the stump, because that's what you're appealing for.
Mm-hmm.
If the ball is hitting the stump. If the ball is hitting the stump, your appeal is good. You shouldn't lose that appeal.
Interesting. Right? But your reaction to that?
Yeah, it's a good point that Sir Clive is making, because at the end of the day, your appeal is not wrong. Your appeal for the ball hitting the stumps. The ball is in the stumps. I have warned to take Andrew similar because, you know, you see these these reviews, Andrew, and you're telling yourself, but that is out. But is the umpire's call not out? I feel the feeling side should not lose that review because at the end of the day, your review was correct. The ball was striking the stumps. The umpire said not out, and the review will not overrule the umpire's decision. So the fielding team should not be penalized. You know, but I think that the ICC will have to look at this as well. And they're given, I think they have one extra review because of this series have one extra review. But the review system needs to be looked at again. How best, because you want it to balance. Huh? I know they don't want to overrule the umpires. They don't want the umpires to look small. But at the end of the day, if a review is going in favor of a fielding side and the umpire's call is not out, that fielding side should not lose that review at all because they're not wrong.
But tell me something. If the umpire gives him out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ball was, he would have been out.
He'd been out.
Mm-hmm. Right? So mm-hmm. The other thing is that you're saying that if the ball is missing the stump, right, you lose the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's hitting the stumps, you still lose the appeal.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense. And you're a lawyer, fellow. I want you to bring that up with
you. Yeah, it is a good discussion sometimes. Because you're appealing for the ball that hit in the stumps, and the ball is hitting the stump.
And that's why I appeal.
So your appeal is not wrong?
I appeal because the ball is hitting the stump.
Agree.
Yeah.
Agree. You're right.
Mm.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Roland, you're also a lawyer as well, aren't you?
Probably a back room. I mean, that's a fair point. You know, you appeal because you believe the ball was hit. The RS ensured that it's hitting with some part of the stump. I don't think you should lose the appeal because you're not incorrect in the assessment. Suggest that the umpire appeal to see that. Eventually, something that needs to be looked at, and I'm sure that at the end of this series, the comments being made, they'll do something about it.
Sorry, Roland, but the other thing is, if you're playing in places like Pakistan and India, by the time the umpire says play, that ball is turning. And you've got to bat intelligently to try if you go batting first or second. You've got to go out there and, you know, and work. Because that is what test cricket is all about. Batting long, as Clyde Walker would say. Bat long. In the old days, we didn't have neutral umpires. You know what I mean? The point is now, at least you have guys and you can go upstairs and that sort of thing. And I want you to realize, too, that games don't go to the fifth day. On most occasions, because of the DRS system.
Ooh.
You can't get away with that stick onto your pads anymore. They go upstairs, and it's proven that you've hit the ball, or it's going to hit the stump. You didn't have that in the old days. So the point is, that's why games are finishing in 4 days. The point is that I'm told that it's going to rain tomorrow at Old Trafford. Let's hope it does, and they don't go on and off sort of thing. Break their concentration. But the other thing is that we spent 3 weeks at that venue, and then we should have been looking at those pitches or even ask the ground bun, what's the bounce side? Look at the scores before, you know, and find out the batting first or second is something that you want to do. The point is, I would want to bowl first if I have 4 fast bowlers and the conditions favorable for bowlers of pace and strength. But it didn't work out because we didn't take our catches. If the guy simply was taken at 57 by the captain, it might have been a different kettle of fish. They might not have got to 350 because that would have exposed the middle to the new ball. And they, I'm not too sure they would have played it that well. But we were short of a bowler, well, 2 bowlers in this innings. And that is why I presume they got that minion. But the good thing about it is that they didn't run away with the score. It was just over 3-3 for 0. But I still think that are you thinking that this chase is going to be a off spinner, or you want to bowl have 3 pace and 2 spinners?
Oh, interesting.
Because don't forget you're strengthening the batting too, but then you have if it's turning, you have guys who, and the thing about Cornwall is that he bowls long. He, although he's a big unit, but he bowls long. So the point is that they have to think of that for the future.
Mm. Right. Interesting. Okay. Well, we've shown you Sydney Port. We're now going to go to the man, really, of the day, Ben Stokes, got to 176. The bowler is Kemal Roach, who has been under the gun. As we look at this replay now, Stokes, in my view, played a rather naughty shot. Let's have a look.
Nick, that as an EA has a reverse sweep, and finally, Kemal Roach's wicket drought comes to an end. Nick, that as an EA has a reverse sweep, and finally, Kemal Roach's wicket drought comes to an end.
All right, interesting. What kind of shit is that, Philo?
Well, they describe it as a reverse sweep. 176, I don't see why you want to play that shot off of Kemal Roach at all. Ben Stokes, to me, was just taking the mickey there. And if I was captain, and Ben Stokes in my team, and play that shot 176, Andrew, I would have to tell him something, because it doesn't look good.
No.
No, it doesn't look good. Go on and look to score a double. Rather than 100, you're trying to reverse sweep a fast bowler. Come on.
No, I didn't like it. what would you have said to Stokes had you been captain, Roland? I know you're a very gentle man.
I would have said to him, well played, because has put the team in a very commanding position.
Yeah.
You would have liked him to go on and get 200, but I think what he done up to that point, he put the team really on very firm footing. And I thought it was a masterful inning for Stokes. When the time he came in yesterday, he looked very much in control. And, the way he faced his innings, and then when he needed to up the ante, he certainly did that late on. And, it was a little bit disrespectful to try and reverse sweep him. But, had he middled that, it would have been another boundary. So I think Roach was quite happy that he got that wicket. And his teammates were very happy too.
All right. We're going to, of course, another 10 minutes we've got left in the show. We got two more highlights for you. We gave you Sydney Port. So let's now look at Wolf. He didn't last very long. In fact, as we were saying, Caribbean parlance, he didn't last as long as a snow cone. Let's go and have a look at the dismissal of Wolves.
Edged and is carried. I think it has. London buses, you wait ages for one and then two come along.
All right. Now, Philo, will this keep Kemal Roach in the side for the next test?
But Shannon Gilbert looks on the cloud, Andrew, so Roach can easily keep it clear.
Right.
But when you look at it, I thought he bowled the right line of length. Walks push his left foot straight down the pitch, actually, and just hang his bat outside the off-stump, looking to drive the ball, and Shea Hockey with a good catch at gully. But when you look at Roach, he's unlucky. He bowled some good balls, he didn't get any wickets. And he picked up two today, and I commend him. He's obviously inching closer to that 200, that elite club. And obviously, I hope that he can do it during this test series. But the next game, obviously, is just around the corner, and Shannon looks struggling with Alzari as well. But we don't hear a lot from our medical team in relation to these players and their injuries. So I would hope that Roach stays fit, and we have to use him for the final test match.
Now, in terms of Roach, I know that Roland Butcher is saying that he was certainly playing. I want to make the comment, though, that there's been a lot of criticism in relation to Gabriel playing in two consecutive test matches. But I don't think we have that culture in the Caribbean where we manage our players the way perhaps England would. And I suspect that every test match is going to have a difference of what, 3 or 4 days, anytime in the future. Someone like the Shannon Gable, who's over 30 and maybe not as fit as he should be, will not play in two consecutive test matches again. I think if we've learned something from this, is that I don't think that's going to happen again. Obviously, you have to look at the fresh legs of someone like Sharma Holder. Or, you never know, they may go with Cornwall. So regardless of what happens, I expect that Shannon wouldn't play in the next test match. Because had you rested Shannon in this test match, you might have had him fresh for the first test match, Phil Wallace, then you would have had a week in terms of rest, and you would have had him for the third test match. So I certainly agree with you that that management is of great importance, Phil Wallace.
Yeah, I think that's something that the management team, Coach Phil Simmons and Roddy Estrick, they need to nail this down. And this is something that we've discussed at our task force, managing the players.
Yes.
And so this test series, you said you would have had Shannon give him 7 days rest. He would have had 10 days rest, which would be more than adequate for that final test match. As it comes down, Andrew, that third test match might be the decider. And that is when you want your firing power. Now, if Shannon is not available, what are you going to do? You toss it between Shimar Holder or Cornwall. I know West Indies, if I get a seaming pitcher, play a Cornwall.
Oh,
you know, it just might happen. Because as Sir Clive said, we were up there for 30 days. And we should have had some idea of which pitch they're going to prepare for the second test and the third test match. So that we have an idea when we come back up from Hampshire what to expect. But we seem to just be left Old Trafford. So we're going to Hampshire. We won at Hampshire, so everything is rosy. No, we're still playing against England, who are 1-0 down. So we need to read. We need to read between the lines better. So we need to have a big squad. Let some of those let some of that backroom staff do some spying, do some extra work. It's important.
Now, England, a big score, 469 for 9 declared. And it was a turn of the West Indies side, a tricky period always, you know, with just about a fourth or to go before the end of the day's play. We had Campbell, who's been out of form, and of course, Craig Bradford got a good score in the first test. This started the innings for the West Indies. But the West Indies actually lost an important wicket just before the close of the second day's play. We're going to show you some video now of the dismissal of John Campbell.
Very, very surely they're going to ask.
Pitching in line, impact in line, hitting the wickets.
Pitching in line,
impact in the field. Richard, you have to overturn the decision.
I'm hitting the wickets. I'm going to go back to Richard on field. Richard, you
have right. Interesting enough, the umpire there, Phil Wallace, said no. So, but and as you said earlier, the umpires did not get anything right today. In fact, the reviews were wrong. What's going on there, Philip, with the umpiring?
Well, Richard Innesworth is supposed to be a very good umpire. And I don't understand why he said not to. That ball was... It's a straight delivery from a left-handed bowler over the wicket to a left-handed batsman. Again, John Campbell's setup was bad. He played two lovely shots off a short board, Andrew. Everything was in alignment. He had good balance. You get Sam Curran, who's not going to... you're not expecting a short ball. But his front foot went straight down the pitch. His head is over the offside and his back is away from his pad. And the ball crushed straight into his pad and he was hit plump in front. Again, in England, and Roland could attest to this, as a batsman, you've got to be certain with your trigger movements. If you're not certain, you can run yourself in trouble. And clearly he was not. And he was at BW, a crucial period there as well. You know, and he was looking good. He looked balanced. He looked in good form. But unfortunately, just one mistake. And he's out. He has to sit down and watch the entire day's play tomorrow.
So, Clive?
I just wonder, is he our best opener?
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know. Because the guy looks like he's got a few problems playing forward. Good. And he looks to me like he's more a 50-over sort of. He looks to strike the ball. We need fighters. This is a test match. You got to go out there and sort of, you know, play and miss. You got to bat ugly at times. I'm not too sure he's one of those. But I just wanted to know who are the other openers that we have. You know, somebody that looks tighter. I don't know. But what the other thing I wanted to talk about is that, you know, our players, I think that tomorrow is going to be a very important day for our cricket, is to see how they approach it. Good. Even if the ball is turning, this is test cricket. It's a test. So it's not because the ball is turning, you can't make runs. The point is that we have to approach it like the guy Stokes has. He had aggression with caution. The point is, played one or two shot, he missed, played and missed a couple of times. But he, it was a very important innings. You know, he's an intelligent cricketer. We need to have more of those type of players in our set. I'm not saying they might not be there, but it will be a great test tomorrow because they have to go out there and sort of play if we have any cricket tomorrow. Even if we go to the fourth day, they still have to go out there and fight. This is what test cricket is all about. We had a very good run in the first one. We played excellent cricket. But the point is, I'm worried, too, about our physios.
Oh.
They should know, they should see our, if a guy is having a little bit of a strain, he must have a very rigorous test.
Oh.
Because in England, we had a guy from the West Indies, played for my club, Blair, didn't warm up,
Ooh.
Pulled a muscle, and never played again for the tour. We had Bishop, don't forget, one of the finest young bowlers that I think that he would have been a marvelous cricket fast bowler. And his thing was cut short. And when he should have gone to England, we sent him to Venezuela.
Oh.
Now, there, Venezuela is cyclists and so on and oil. They are not looking, they don't look after people's back and muscles and so on. We should have sent him to England and he probably would have been able to be played longer, good. But we have to have people there who can say, well, right, this guy could play or he cannot play. He's have a bit of a muscle strain, but he might be able to play. You know, we have to be sure. Because if you're going to put somebody into bat, you have to have all the firepower that you're accustomed to. And I think we made a mistake there in not assessing the fitness of the players.
Mm.
And we have two physios, mind you, and we have a doctor on board.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not blaming people, but the point is that you don't want to look like an idiot when you put a side in and they end up with 469. Mm.
Perhaps we're going to come to you, Roland, now. Do you believe the West Indies made a mistake? Having won the toss, and they decided to bowl first. Roland, talk to me about that.
Well, obviously, they would have believed that, having won the toss, that their bowling unit was in good order. I was not. I always believed that it was going to be difficult for them bowling, because these three matches, for me, they come so thick and fast that our guys really haven't been playing enough cricket to stand this sort of pressure. So, for me, I was a bit surprised that they decided to field first. I would have liked to have certainly given the bowlers a bit of a rest and tried to bat, get a score on the board, and then take it from there. After that first test match, which they won, I don't think I wouldn't have been looking to field, that's for sure. But they made that decision. It did turn out for them. And as a result, you know, it heaped more pressure on the bowlers who perhaps carrying slight injuries and tiredness, and it's manifested so far in this game that it could really hurt you right throughout this game and perhaps hurt you in the next game if one or two of them is not available for selection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got some reaction, of course, people on Facebook, and you know, Sir Clive earlier talked about the whole question of Campbell being the best opener, and someone is asking Philo Wallace, where is Kieran Powell? Can you help me with that,
fellow? Well, Kieran Powell is somewhere in the Caribbean, I believe. Andrew, I listened to the other program, and he was on, and he was voicing his concern why he has been overlooked. And I think we have a selection panel in place that will need to answer those questions. Because when you look at it as well, Sir Clive keeps saying that we have a big squad. Can the West Indies selectors pick from that 25, or are they restricted to pick from that 15-man squad? That is a question we need to get answered first of all. Because then you have Shane Mosley and you have Joshua De Silva up there. And if there's a cloud over John Campbell, because he was struck on his toe a couple of days ago and it was a lot of pain, has that toe healed good enough that John Campbell can go there to bat? That's another question too that has not been answered. He was struck on his toe, he came back in the second innings and he batted down the other and won the game. Is he fit enough with that toe? for the second test match, because obviously you've got to move your feet to bat. But can they pick Joshua De Silva or Shane Mosley if they're not happy with John Campbell in the final 11, seeing that they're in that reserve squad? I don't know.
Roland,
because
to me,
they picked two openers in the 15-man squad.
Roland, do you know?
That's a very good question. That's one that I'm not absolutely certain about, but I would imagine that you would have to pick from the 15, because otherwise there'd be no point in naming the 15. Why would you have to name the 15 unless that's the group you have to pick from? Maybe only through injury you can probably replace someone in there, I would imagine so.
Yes, I think that's the policy. That's
it means you'll have to pick from the 15.
You got to pick from the 15.
Getting back to John Campbell, John Campbell, like the majority of Estadian batsmen playing in England, they don't get far enough forward. You know, generally when they play forward, it's almost on the top of the crease. I mean, if Campbell had played right out, you know, he would have hit that ball in the middle of the bat. But, you know, his front foot hardly came out, caught half and half, and really, you know, that's what defeated him. You know, that's the problem that a lot of our batsmen have in England. You know, in England, you have to look to get on the front foot. I'm not saying that you get out on the front foot, but you have to be looking to get on the front foot. That is going to be your best option. And most of our batsmen, I guess because of growing up in the Caribbean and playing from the crease, you don't make that adjustment there. And invariably, you get caught in no man's land. Quite regularly, the ball gets through the gate because people cannot get out far enough to meet the delivery.
All right, gentlemen, we got just a couple of minutes left on the show. Let's look now at day three. And the scoreboard not looking good at all for the West Indies. England 469 for 9 declared the West Indies are 32 for 1, losing Campbell late on the second day. Bradford is there, he's got Joseph with him. Your expectations for tomorrow? Let's start with you, Phil Wallace.
Well, obviously, I drew the expectation to Boris for Alzari and Craig Bradford to bat for the first hour and then do a reassessment after the first hour. We know that Alzari is a night watchman, but he plays a lot of shots. He has the confidence of a bat, but he needs to obviously temper that tomorrow. But we need to bat an hour first and see how, try not to lose any wickets. And then if we can get to lunch and lose only one, then we'll be happy. But if we lose a lot of wickets in that first 2 hours, Andrew, we are not going to see the 50 of this next match at all. England are going to come really hard at us. And you have to remember that England have their captain batting in Joe Root, who has become a very, you know, he's a shoot captain. So we need to be very careful tomorrow. Batsmen need to bat and bat for a very, very long time. As the client said, we need to bat for 2 days. Take something out of Sibley and Ben Stokes' partnership and try to use it tomorrow for the benefit of West Indies cricket. Tomorrow is going to be a very definitive day for West Indies cricket in relation to their batsmen. The Shea Hopes, the Shamar Brooks, the Roston Chase, all of them are going to come under the microscope tomorrow. Because England are going to come hard at us, and we've got to be able to push them back.
All right. Someone is saying Alzari Joseph will make 50. Of course, we'll want him to make 150 or even 250. They're certainly getting some good reaction in relation to our Facebook. Let's go to you now, Roland Butcher. Your expectations for day three.
Well, obviously, day three, you'll be hoping from a West Indian perspective that two overnight batsmen, you know, can get over this new ball and bat as long as possible. I think it's going to be quite difficult to do that because Joseph, the sort of player he is, he's going to always give you a chance. He's going to be looking to score. You know, he's not a defensive player, so the ball is still new. So, you know, he will give the English bowlers opportunities to get him out. And once that happens, it just exposes the middle order, particularly Hope and Jamar Brooks, who really haven't got any runs on the board yet. It will expose them to the new ball. So, really, Joseph somehow has to temper his attacking instincts tomorrow. They know how Craig Bradford's going to play. You know, he's going to try and guts it out. But, you know, if Joseph goes early, you know, that could really open up the order for England to pick up two or three.
The final word with you.
Yeah, I think we... The point is that we have to get, we must make England bat again. If we have to go back, if we don't, you know, get over that and then try and bat a little long. If we can get the 300 odd and make England bat again, then we can save the game. Don't forget, if we draw this game, we retain the trophy.
Yes.
So, you know, you're all to gain tomorrow. Or I just got to, you know, I hope that Azari sort of holds up. But if we lose Craig and Azari is still there, then we might be three down. You never know. So the point is that tomorrow is going to be a very important day, that first couple of hours, you know. And I know Broad want to prove things. Wokes do well. He normally does well at Old Trafford. So they're all be coming, you know. And that little guy, Curran, swings the ball and swings the
game. Yes.
He's a bit of a handful. So it will take a great effort tomorrow. And the point is that if they come out of this game, well, they would have done extremely well. But it's not going to be easy. It's obvious. Life was not meant to be easy.
You're right, Sir Clive. We want to thank you, ending on a very positive note there from Sir Clive. We want to thank you, of course, Philo Wallace, the former West Indies opening batsman, and, of course, Roland Butcher, the former England batsman, offering your thoughts. Earlier, we heard from Johnny Moran, the noted journalist from England, and, of course, David Brooks. We're going to come back here tomorrow, just around 3 o'clock Eastern Caribbean time, to continue as we look at the action between England and the West Indies. The scores at the end of the second day's play, 469 for 9 to England, having a very good day. The West Indies, 32 for 1. The action continues tomorrow. And as I said, we're going to be here to bring it for you. I want to thank all those who participated, and from Kingston, Jamaica, right through to Georgetown, Guyana. All we have to say to the West Indies team, feed your faith and don't starve to death. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brighter tomorrow. It's goodbye for now.
You have it. Another Vibe Radio Champion Station summary. West Indies drove England. West Indies in a contest with England at Old Trafford. Lots of work to do tomorrow. Azari, 50.
So I'm begging my people, please.
Oh, Patrick, 75. Occupy the Queen. So I hope it's time for you. Time for you to come good. Jamar Brooks, expecting something great from you. A little bit of tiredness from Kyle, not I hope, but our spinner, Ralston Chase. Delridge, repeat your first test performance, the first inning performance. Jason Holder, remember the time when you scored a double century. And we know our pacers. All I'm asking, put a price on your wicket. Bat long, don't kick your wicket. You can save this test match. I'm saving this test match, like I have been saying, and I heard Seth Live saying the same thing. Win or draw this, but it seems to me a win would be asking too much, but you can draw this. Draw this. Draw the test match and bring home the wisdom juice. Good night, all. Hope you enjoyed it. The cricket show will be on tomorrow morning from 9 until 12. We ask that you join us then. And then in the evening, we'll be back to bring you another summary of the tomorrow's day's play. West Indies win, lose or draw, always with you. Good night. God bless.